Merry Christmas. I know it feels a little bit weird to say that still, right? I bet most of you have probably already put away your Christmas decorations. That was supposed to be my project yesterday until I came down with kind of an unfortunate cold, so maybe sometime this week. They're still up right now. But you know, technically, according to the church calendar, today is still Christmas. It's actually day 12 of the 12 days of Christmas. You can tell by all the drummers drumming. You see, according to church tradition, people didn't actually start celebrating Christmas until midnight on December 24th. The season of Advent was a time of fasting and preparation, the same kind of thing as happens in Lent. Nobody was supposed to have any Christmas parties until December 24th. But after that, you could go crazy. You have epic feasting and revelry for 12 days, right through until Epiphany. And so today would mark the last day of the Christmas season. And actually, in the Eastern Orthodox Church, today would be the day that they open up their gifts. But what is Epiphany? And why have so few Christians actually heard of it? I got into this conversation with some of my Pentecostal family members over our turkey dinner this year. They were quite unfamiliar with this tradition. I don't think they actually had heard the word Epiphany before. And we haven't always celebrated it in the Mennonite church either, but maybe we should. It's actually pretty cool. This winter, we're going to be doing an 8-week sermon series from now until Lent called The Light of a Star. And it follows the church season traditionally called after Epiphany. This worship series has been put together by an ecumenical organization called Kairos, which involves 10 different churches, including Mennonite, Anglican, Reformed, Catholic, United, Lutheran, and others, who work together to promote social justice and peace building in the name of Christ. So throughout this series, we'll be exploring how God's love is always with us, wherever we go, wherever we are in the world, just like the stars of the night sky shine down on us, no matter where we are. Epiphany is the day when the lectionary texts celebrate the coming of the wise men to worship baby Jesus. You might remember this story from our Christmas Eve Sunday school pageant. The three wise men travel west over a long distance, possibly all the way from Persia, which is modern-day Iran, by the way, some say as far as India, in order to bring gifts to celebrate the birth of a new king. Interestingly, they know about this baby because they're astrologers, people who study the movement of the stars and planets, with the belief that this will allow them to predict future events. So basically, they're pagans. And it's their pagan beliefs that lead them to recognize that a remarkable new king has been born. And so they set out to travel thousands of kilometers on foot, following a star. Of course, astrology is not a very Christian belief. It's not a Jewish belief either. These wise men are completely unfamiliar with the Jewish prophecies concerning the coming Messiah. They don't know the right way that they're supposed to do things. They're total outsiders to the teachings of the rabbis and of the Torah. In fact, good religious people in Jerusalem would have avoided these Gentiles. They have the wrong religion, the wrong ethnic background, the wrong color of skin. In fact, if the wise men entered a Jewish home, traditionally, it would have been considered unclean. And yet, none of that seems to matter much in God's opinion. It's interesting to contrast how the pagan wise men respond to Jesus and how the very supposedly religious King Herod responds to him. Herod is king in Israel at this time. And if things were done the right way, he should have been the first person in line to come and worship Jesus, After all, the king was supposed to lead the people in all things religious. But Herod believes that he's the guy who's the rightful king of the Jews. This is even his political title, granted to him by the Roman emperor of all people. When the wise men arrive in Jerusalem, they appear in King Herod's court to inquire about the birth of the new king. After all, the royal palace seems like the right place for a king to be born. King Herod, though, immediately senses his danger. He knows that his hold onto power is tenuous, and this baby is a threat. And Herod is right to be worried. After all, Jesus is coming into the world to overthrow tyrants, to free people from oppression and injustice. So under the false pretense of trying to help the wise men locate the baby they're searching for, Herod calls together a team of his top religious scholars. They study the scriptures and determine that the baby is expected to be born in Bethlehem. Herod instructs the wise men to go and look for him there, and then to report back to the palace once they found the location, because Herod says he wants to go and worship him too. Of course, this is a trap. Fortunately, God warns the wise men in a dream not to return to Herod. And so after worshiping Jesus and presenting him with their lavish gifts, they disappear back to their homeland. This slows Herod down a little, but it doesn't stop him for very long. Once Herod realizes that the wise men are not coming back, he sends a team of his most brutal soldiers to Bethlehem to take care of the problem. Jesus is now in real danger. A team of assassins are after him, and they have no reservations about harming an innocent child. In a dream, God speaks to Joseph, warning him about the approaching danger. Deep in the middle of the night, Mary and Joseph quickly pack up the baby and embark on another long journey across the border into Egypt, hoping to keep their child safe. I wonder sometimes if they had to sell those gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh to buy supplies along the road. Jesus and his family have now become refugees. It's funny. We don't seem to have any Christmas carols about that. I suppose it's not a nice, happy story. There's nothing nostalgic about living as a refugee, about having to flee for your life in the middle of the night. Or perhaps this story is just too politically charged to make a good Christmas carol. After all, if Jesus, Mary, and Joseph had to escape their government by traveling to a foreign country, that might impact what we believe today about people who have to run from dangerous situations and flee to foreign countries. If Jesus was a child migrant, there might be something to say about how we treat child migrants today. No wonder we don't sing about that story at Christmas time. I suppose it's just a lot more pleasant to think about gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And yet, this is a vital story for us to remember in 2019. Our world is facing the largest number of displaced people since World War II. An estimated 68 million people have been forced to flee their homes due to violence. And at the same time, even here in Canada, even here in Ontario and in Essex County, we're seeing rising levels of hatred and intolerance. In November, CBC News reported the number of police-reported hate crimes reached an all-time high in 2017, largely driven by incidents targeting Muslim, Jewish, and Black people, according to Statistics Canada. How does God call us to respond to the reality of our times? I think we already know the answer to that question. It's pretty simple, really. Jesus tells us quite clearly, Love your neighbor as yourself. In the parable of the Good Samaritan, Jesus defines who our neighbors are. Any fellow human being, especially one who's in need. God calls us to show empathy and compassion for other people, even when they're very different from ourselves, and especially when they're in need. There are lots of different ways that we can live this out. Obviously, sponsoring refugees is one way, and that's something I'm so grateful that our church has done an excellent job of. And there's more that we can do than that. We can build relationships with people who are of a different culture or a different ethnic background from ourselves. We can stretch ourselves to get to know our coworkers or our classmates or even other church members who look or speak or worship differently from us. Instead of just staying within the comfortable bubble of people that we know already, that can be hard to do at first, but it gets easier the more you practice it. And we can learn about the experiences and perspectives of different people from different cultures. For example, we can read books that are written by authors from different cultural backgrounds from ourselves. I recently read a book called Washington Black by a novelist whose name I hope I will say correctly. It's a tricky name. Essie Egguyen. A Canadian Black woman who just won the Scotia Giller Prize for this novel. It was a fantastic book, and it made me think about how different experiences people have in their lives shape their understandings of the world. And we can pay attention to the opportunities that God gives us to interact with people, just to offer a smile or a handshake or a friendly greeting to the people who might be in line with us at the grocery store, or at the shirt complex, or at the bank. It's a simple gesture that can help other people to feel like they belong as part of our community. Loving our neighbors doesn't have to be complicated. And there's one more easy thing we can do. We can pay attention to the way that God might be at work in the lives of people who are different from ourselves. We can notice how God might be providing for their needs, or how God might be helping them to feel safe. We can look for the gifts that they bring with them into our community so that we can give thanks to God for the way God's Spirit is at work. So, as we put away our decorations and a new year begins, let's continue to remember that the Christmas story is all about God's Spirit at work among strangers, foreigners, and refugees. The main characters in this story are a group of sketchy lower-class shepherds, an unmarried pregnant teenager and her much older partner, who isn't the baby's father, a group of pagan astrologers, who know nothing about the correct religious traditions, and a baby born out of wedlock. The heroes of this story are forced to pack up their bags in the middle of the night and run from the government authorities who are after them. And yet, God is using all of these unlikely characters and messy situations in order to bring about an amazing new work. May our eyes, our ears, and our hearts be open to experience God at work around us throughout 2019. Amen.